Same time as each other.
Oh, what if same room, different time?
Ooh, that would be tough to sync up.
Yes.
But we didn't do that.
My cue.
We're both here.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here in the flesh.
Holy moly.
We're here in the flash light. Oh, get rid of that. We got a weird bunch of gifts from, we don't really know who.
Yeah.
One of them is a, I'm going to go ahead and call it a straight up cop flashlight.
We got a cop flashlight, which is great for beating people up.
Yeah, do you hear me just like menacingly slapping it into my left palm?
Slap. Slap.
That's what this slap mainly is good for.
We did a little tiny bit of research on this particular flashlight.
Uh-huh.
We don't know enough about physics to know if this is an ignorant or incorrect thing to say, but it appears to be the strength of 1/7 the amount it would take to blind a human being.
Yeah, and I said that it's got to have two brightnesses, I bet. There's no batteries in it because it takes 4D batteries. So I forgot to bring my collection of D batteries to work today.
Yeah.
So I don't have a way to turn it on.
For some reason.
But I bet it goes super bright and then civilian bright.
Ay, ay, ay.
Anyway, we don't know why we were sent this, but you better believe it's going to be in my car.
Yeah. Oh, and we did. And we also got some coffee, right, from a fan that was someone in Seattle?
It was in Washington State, at least. Oh, I don't know if people want their names out there.
Yeah, we don't know. Anyway,
we don't
thank
know.
You.
We're not going to do that, but thank you for the coffee. It smells delicious.
I'm just crunching on it right now.
Yeah, it's weird that you opened it up like it's trail mix. Are you saying honk?
Yeah.
All right. We all have our noise work. Andrew, what's going on?
Can't stress enough. I'm not a performer.
Disagree. You are the third most famous Chinese stand-up.
Oh, God. I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Andrew's a successful stand-up, you guys. Reluctantly so. He's so good. He's such a raw stand-up talent.
Oh, God.
That it's bursting forth.
No.
You're great. You're doing great.
No. Oh, my God. How are you doing, Tani? Welcome back.
I'm good.
Wait, are you? Am I welcome? I forgot.
I don't know.
Last week,
we were just
both
working
on the phone.
Yeah, we were both at work. But I haven't gone anywhere interesting, just to various strange secret locations.
And I was eating a salad on Mike last time over Google. I got a friend of mine was like, hey, man, I know that you were busy last week, but that was horrible to listen to.
Wait, just because of the audio, right?
Yeah.
It was wild.
Also, I think the news was actually also fucked up, but
yeah, it was wild. Jordan did her best, but we were not set up. I think, well, we'll just talk off mic about how we will fix that in the future, but thanks to everyone for rolling with it. Thanks for allowing us to have other jobs.
I know.
What's going on with you other than getting reprimanded by your friends?
Not much. Yeah, still, everyone please watch Mixed Dish on ABC or I don't know, Hulu. I don't know how any of this stuff works.
Good plug.
Oh,
great plug.
I'm so tired.
They're so proud of you. We'll figure out a way to watch it. I don't know.
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's plenty. Yeah, I don't know. What else did I do? I went to the desert with a bunch of Chinese folks.
Cool.
That's it.
Cool.
Oh, I got a sweatshirt from the employee store on the Disney lot that was just the face of the man from Up.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
I saw it on your Instagram.
Yep.
I don't like that man's face.
It was horrible.
He's so sad.
Every so often, I like to go in the employee store and try to find... Clearly, someone at Disney is just in charge of merchandise, and they're known as the "what's the worst possible idea" person. Because yeah, there's just always a bunch of merchandise, and then like this went right from the factory straight into the trash. Right? This is horrible.
I like those big swings.
Just like what a horrible thing. Also, it was too hot. Anyway, yeah, that's the Andrew news.
That's fun news. I don't have any news. So
what's racism news?
Racism news. A lot of people not understanding how the N-word works. It's like it was a theme this week. Because I feel like when one story starts happening where people are like, this non-black person used the N-word, then like all of a sudden other people are like, also this though, this other person did too. And you're like, yeah, I know it's rampant. It's like you guys only remembered to pay attention to the fact that it sucks. I don't know. I grow tired of the like, well, we should just not have the word. Just no one should say it then. I grow tired of that take a lot where it's like, you really can't handle one fucking thing you shouldn't say.
Yeah. N-word season. It's back.
Oh, no. N-word season. Is that the autumn or is that just any time it flares up?
I think it's just any season. I mean, we're close to blackface season. Oh, Halloween's God. Just around the corner.
God, N-word season's going to bleed right into blackface season, and I just need the stores to, like, take a break. I need the decorations not to come right on top of each other. And then we're going to get into problematic indigenous folk turkey time bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the whole country's bad.
Yeah. Wait, here's an audible, speaking of blackface season. Did you see Obama sort of like came out in support of Justin Trudeau?
No, I didn't see that. I mean, what do you mean in support of? Was he like, I think he looked great?
No.
A lot of ways to support.
No, he sidestepped that, but the timing has to be.
Oh, sure.
But it was just some tweet in support of the guy who can't remember how many times he's done blackface because it's so many.
God, and imagine that that's still your best shot for PM.
I know. Canada's fudged.
Sorry, Toronto. Sorry, we can't come to the Hot Dog Festival.
So
we were really sad. We really wanted to come. We love your town.
Ugh. We really do. I was looking forward to some food in Toronto.
I love Toronto because it reminds me of an American city, but you're never going to get people like screaming at each other in a Rite Aid. Like no one's screaming at their kid in a Rite Aid. Like everyone's just a little more like toned down. I know that's an oversimplification, but what we're saying is we like your place.
Yeah.
So wait, what are we talking about? Blackface, the N-word?
Blackface. I will say that blackface thing feels like it's just fine. Is it just because whoever the fuck he's running against is so heinous that it's like, let's just put maybe at least the final nail in the coffin for Canada's less racist than the United States.
We're still roasting that one caller from like 10 months ago.
Because at least we can probably find one candidate who's not.
Who didn't wear blackface?
Racist.
I don't know. Wow. I don't know if we can.
As I say it out loud, it sounds. I'm hearing it through the listener's ears and it sounds ludicrous to me too.
It's all ludicrous.
Oh my God.
Governor Cuomo dropped the N-word for no reason. He even like ramped up to it and was like, pardon the language. I'm just quoting here. He was talking about slurs used against Sicilians, specifically. I think he was talking about darker skinned Italians, and he said N-word and then the W word, but he said both words, and then the next time he just said N-word, like, and then he said the full W word, and I was like, you just don't have to say it. Like,
so
you literally demonstrated that you can edit in the moment, and you ramped up to it, so you knew it was bad. So, but it ignited that conversation again that I always bring up, where people are like, we have to, you know, distinguish between using the word to call someone it and talking about its use, which, like, there is a distinction, but also there's often so little need for it.
Yeah,
you don't need to use it even if you're discussing its use. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, like, there just isn't. It's just this thing where it's like, I feel like people rail against like what they perceive to be like, I don't know, idiocy, or I guess it's oversensitivity, right? They're like, I can't quote it. And it's like, absolutely, you can quote it. No one's stopping you.
Yeah. But why you want to so bad?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you feel a little silly saying the N-word because it's like, you know, it feels childish maybe or whatever. But it's like, sorry, that's where culture is. Like, you know, that word is too loaded and you can either side with the people who say it.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. And like, if you need it that badly, first of all, what is your job that you feel like you need this word. I know a lot of comics think they need it, but
yeah.
What is your job that you're like, no, I got to be able to say it. It impedes my work if I can't.
Yeah.
It also makes me feel like you just aren't around enough black people, because if you ever pictured black people in your orbit at all, you would edit. You wouldn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. But you don't, when you're Governor Cuomo or whatever, giving a radio interview or whatever the fuck, or you're just talking to your, you don't picture black people in your world.
Yeah.
Or. Which is very telling.
Or it's like you think you've made such – I think maybe that's it. It's like, I've made such an amazing point here. And it's like, guess what? Your points are never that good. I guess by the same point, so there was this story out of Madison, Wisconsin, a black security guard who told a student to stop calling him the N-word, mm-hmm. using it because of a zero tolerance policy, was fired for saying, stop calling me the N-word.
This is a wild story because, like he's had a lot of support from the community. So he got fired, but he has a union. So his union is contesting it or however that works. But apparently also Cher jumped in and offered to pay his legal fees.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I the zero tolerance thing feels like the absolute fucking bottom of the barrel of corporations. And I guess if you're the argument would be like, I don't know. This is so gross what I'm about to say, so let's just, you know, like, to the extent that there is any ambiguity. So whether it's a white-presenting person or it's like, you know, I've, you know, there's maybe a loophole anyway it can be used, you know, it can be used against you. And then so when you can use it, you can find a loophole for that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I get how maybe a corporation feels like they need a quote zero tolerance policy, just like the word never escapes anyone's lips that is employed by us.
Right.
However, what the fuck?
Yeah, this is not the way to do this. You're also not some, you know, governing like AI program that's only able to sort through, like, did the word occur or did it not?
Yeah.
Like, you're still people, so maybe you can see that, like, because he didn't say the word many times. He said, like, stop calling me the N-word many times. And then finally, I think something broke because this kid was just fucking screaming nigger at him.
Yeah.
So he's like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to fire that guy?
It seems like, maybe. But I think that's it. It's like, you know, yo is as racist as it is. It's like, shit is obvious to us most of the time. I guess not always either. But like, so often, like, since our structures of power are, like, you know, owned by people, race, you know, who are invested in propping up that same racist shit, that even when they pretend to, that's why, like, Twitter has a terrible time with, like, you know, or all online shit. They're like, how could we tell? Mm-hmm. And it's like, always, the process that corporations use, like, you know, tech companies especially, but I assume many corporations, is offensive. It is genuinely offensive that they, like, can't tell the difference between, or they claim they can't tell the difference between racism and whatever, you know, what this is and other forms of stuff, or, like, try to pretend that, like, saying, oh, white people is just as bad as saying the N-word, which is, like, shit that... Oh, my God. Another audible. Did you see the thing where Brooke Hogan...
God.
Said that she had faced racism because someone had said white people smell like bologna around her.
An expertly worded headline paired with an incredible backdrop. She's standing in front of an Axe body spray event backdrop. And she said that people told her that white people smell like bologna, so thus she has experienced racism.
Yeah.
I fell out loud. I don't even have anything to say. That was one of the funniest things I've read.
I mean, yeah, but it's like, are we going to argue about the term? What is it like? People want to talk about racism as if it's just like, you know, I've seen things as stupid as generalizing a race, or isn't, you know, the dumbest of the people that come after me say shit like, isn't you talking about Republicans just as bigoted as like race? That's obviously stupid. The thing about talking about white people is like, you know, white people aren't discriminated against for their whiteness.
Right.
So that's the other thing, right? It's like so close to almost being an interesting point. Like, saying people smell like bologna, white people smell like bologna, is probably classist. There's an element of like, there's a white trash element. There's mm-hmm. like things like that. But trying to claim that is about, quote, white people.
Right.
Is white supremacy. Like claiming mm-hmm. that that's racism is mm-hmm. just props up fucking actual white supremacy. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, look, also though, the ambiguity in that argument is why this podcast can exist and be a discussion at all.
It's all a discussion. We don't have the answers. I do want to know who told her that. Like, I need the full background of the person, why it came up.
Yeah.
Where is she that someone's just like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on in your life?
I hope it was Slim Thug on that one song that he was on with her.
Come on.
I'm going to double check that live. Brooke Hogan, Slim Thug. Was it Slim Thug?
Hearing Andrew's keystrokes.
It was Paul Wall.
Ah.
That's not as funny.
That's not as funny. Well, everyone go back in your minds and punch up the joke with accuracy and don't laugh as hard.
Paul Wall is white, but I can see him still saying, you smell like bologna. All white people do.
My favorite thing sometimes is to watch white people dunk on other white people.
I know. I love it.
It's expert.
Yeah.
It's expert.
Speaking of an expert.
I wanted to real quickly talk about Meghan Markle.
Oh, yeah, please.
Just because it seems so very clear that she is just being bullied by the British tabloids because of her race and her nationality and her gender.
Famously racist British tabloids. Like, they are so racist.
And, like, I don't know what it's like to be part of that. You know, our you tabloids do
a
here.
Sorry. I thought you were going to say a royal family.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I do feel like a royal in my family. Like, the rest of my family's not royal, but I am.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not opening that car door. And they're like, cool, you're going to stay in front of the Rite Aid for a while. A lot of Rite Aid material today. Mm-hmm. Anyway. No, I was just saying, like, I don't know what it's like to live there and be part of that propaganda machine, because mm-hmm. it is relentless in a way that is very different from the way our, like, Us Weeklies and TMZs and shit vilify people.
I wonder if that's true, actually, a little bit, but yeah, it's different, I guess.
I think it's by and large crueler. Everyone seems to agree.
Jesus, it's pretty cruel here.
That's true.
Fuck. All right.
Maybe more people believe it. I don't know. There seems to be, I'm just gathering from online seems to be more of a believing of them, whereas, like, we're looking at Bat Boy for the last 25 years on our tabloids.
But, you know? I mean, even TMZ.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like TMZ is the same thing. It's just a little more online.
Yeah.
Look, I don't fucking know.
I don't know. But that clip of her just, like, anyone who can still say that she's... there's a lot of people going like, oh, you know, she did a, sorry, let me not talk in fragments. She did a documentary and some clips have surfaced just of her being really honest about the toll it's taken on her. And they're just heartbreaking. Like, you just look at that woman and you're like, she has been bullied while she was pregnant, while she had a newborn. And I just still see people like that motherfucker, Toby Young, just being like, well, too bad for her. She has to be a princess and live in a castle and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, to think that people with money and privilege and access don't struggle is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Well, especially when you are an outsider coming into that privilege.
It's also like, whatever you think about that class of people, guess what? This is also clearly asymmetric. Yes, they go after everyone, but they go after her harder.
Harder.
Because she's black.
And
that's it.
Right. And it's totally fine to not like the royals as an institution, but you still got to acknowledge that she a human being.
Yeah, though? And the tabloids are racist.
Yeah, man. Jesus. Anyway, I felt like that was one of the saddest things I saw on the timeline this week. You got something sad to talk about?
That's how you're teeing me up. I was going to talk about our guest. So speaking of experts, Tani wasn't able to make it, but I was able to sit down with Sean Ramaswamy with great guest co-host Lorraine DeGraffenwright. And yeah, it was funny and fun and dope.
Enjoy.
I think I think I know the deal.
Do you know the deal?
I know the deal.
All right. Did anyone say,
been with you since the Tumblr days.
Say the deal. Oh, I feel bad for the Tumblr.
Well, you got.
I guess I just feel bad for Tumblr.
Wait, why do you feel bad for the Tumblr? The Tumblr is the origin. It's the Mesopotamia of
it's
this
just,
show.
It's, I haven't. It. I'm kind of just letting it die in a way that is not very elegant.
I just feel like this show
it's
is
natural.
Giving it
it's
new life.
I know. I should just say. Hey,
you should just put something artful up there.
Yeah, and then leave it.
Done.
Yeah. We're done here. Go to the podcast. That's what I should say.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome to Yo, Is This Racist? The podcast where we listen to voicemails and we help listeners figure out what's racist. And guess what? Everything is.
Yes.
Is that right? Am I doing this right?
You don't have to do that part because we're going to do that after the fact.
Yeah, and you're going to talk about all the great stuff that happened that week in the future
but
where
we're
we don't live yet.
Already talking, that was guest host Lorraine DeGreffen, right?
What's up? Previous guest.
Now two-timer. Co-host.
Yeah, I'm moving up in the Yo, Is This Racist world.
I do not like to think of it that way, but I understand if you do. I forgot to ask you before we started how you like to be introduced, but it's Sean Ramos-Farum.
Yeah.
In the house.
Yeah, hi.
In the building.
It's not a house.
It's
a very corporate studio.
It's a very difficult to find.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
Strip mall.
That's
with
right.
The
you did
roof
mention.
Kind of situation on Sunset Boulevard.
Not ideal.
The security guard out in the parking lot has no idea what an earwolf is, what a stitcher is, what a mid roll is. He was familiar with the post roll. He was he's like, oh yeah, the ad that comes at the end, that's just 20 seconds. Yeah.
Tight.
You know
say
what?
The link twice.
The more confusing, the better, though. I think that this is good for security reasons. I feel like there are a lot of fans out there who like want easy access to these rooms, to these microphones. They want to come in. So
the Yo, Is This Racist mob was out there.
Yeah, they're
like, yo, are you the guest today?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't talk to y'all.
They're just like, voicemails are over. I'm not leaving a voicemail. I'm going to come in person and speak my piece.
It's so nice out there today.
I did honestly used to not my old because it never was that real, but I always thought about starting a podcast with my friend back in Brooklyn. And we would just because we just talked so much shit, we were like, it's the Oddcast. That's just
drop the P.
A-U-D.
Oh.
Cast. Just the podcast that's available on the Audible spectrum.
Yeah.
And the way you subscribe to it is be within like 25 feet of us and just don't stab your ears out.
Like radio.
Yeah. But like a much smaller transmitter, just our voices.
A guy named John DeLore, who's like the technical director. No, now he's an editor with Stitcher Midroll.
Oh, yeah.
He had a radio show styled podcast called The Oddcast, but it was Oddcast.
Nah.
And he just like dropped his voice like 10 octaves. So it was like, hello, welcome to The Oddcast. And he would just play music.
Wait, oh, really?
Fun fact, yeah.
That's got to be a licensing nightmare
ask
in the corporate,
well,
in the corporate
like
days.
Music
of,
where no one would care.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the move.
The older stuff.
Wait, Sean, so how do you typically like to be introduced? Again, normally I ask this to people before we start rolling.
Do you mean like a bio, like a blurb?
Well, like a writer director.
Yeah,
sure. Son
actor,
of Mama
writer.
Chits.
Yes.
In the house. Mom, yell hello.
Hi.
Oh.
She's not on a mic, but
did
she's
it
in
get
the corner.
Caught, do you think?
Natural. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So that's my mom. So, you know, it all starts with her. But more recently, I host and help make Vox's daily news podcast.
Nice.
Today Explained.
Nice.
Yes.
Check us out wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, I co-sign. Yeah. You're going to want to check that out.
401 episodes deep.
Oh, shit.
As of
whoa.
Friday. Yeah.
Congrats. Yeah. So you've been at it a little over a year.
Say it again?
You've been at it a little over a year?
A year and a half.
Is that the math?
Since we don't do the weekends.
Working out? Yeah.
We took a couple days off for the holidays last year, you know.
Boo.
But we make a lot of shows.
Lazy.
Yeah, I know. Shameful.
Shameful.
Those days don't get explained.
I definitely had like a couple of weeks of vacation in the past year and a half.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's awful.
Terrible.
But it's a fun thing.
And we have Mama Chits in the studio who is an influencer, you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Huge. She's all over it. I don't think she's on TikTok yet, but you can find Mama Chits on Twitter, Instagram. She's on Facebook, mostly The Chitra. Check it.
Yes.
Yeah. This is amazing.
No this joke. Is great. This is a strong start.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what are you doing in town? Just like
well, seeing mom,
yeah,
and doing some podcasts.
That is so the best combination.
Super
of
honored
things,
to be
except
here
for the podcast.
Thank
part.
You for having
yeah,
me.
Yeah, they're like going thrifting after. They're like going to go shopping.
We're going to hit Melrose.
Hanging out.
I'm going to find that shirt. That's some clean thrift.
I
right
love
there.
It. I am. Yeah,
you guys only, can't hear, but Andrew's wearing a Chippendale.
Not only is this not a thrift store find.
No,
this is.
Is it like Target?
From the Disney store.
Nuh-uh.
Available. You know what I should do? It was on sale. My current day job is on the Disney lot.
Okay.
And I was just wandering through the Disney store and I should just buy all of these because this was clearly in the deep sale section of the Disney store.
Looks
but
good.
Just for and the sake of the listeners, yes. It's Chip and Dale.
Dabbing.
Yeah, and they're dabbing. And they're,
and they're
look
having
great.
A great time.
It's so dope.
They're like giggling.
It was one
dab.
Of those things where I was like, I saw the shirt and I was like, this was like corny before it finished printing. Like, literally, like it was like about like halfway through the printing process and it was like, let's just drop this straight into the sale bin. This is like the
it's
point.
Funny. I thought the vintage is, it's funny because it's like a mix of old and new because
right.
it's got sort of like the 90s color scheme.
Yeah, I think it's
but
ripping
they are
off
dabbing,
the Saved by the Bell.
Which we didn't do in the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
this is Saved by the Bell.
I see that.
It is very Saved
homage.
By the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking.
It's very postmodern.
I when I saw this shirt, I literally could not stop laughing about it the rest of the day at work.
I bet
my favorite thing I've ever owned.
It does look like one of those finds where you're like, I have to.
Yeah,
like
how could
this
you
isn't
not?
Gonna stay on the rack. I
who's
have
gonna
to.
See that photo and not smile?
It's so dope. Anyway, yeah, hit me up, listeners. It's on sale at the Disney store.
Amazing, amazing.
Did you get like a fat employee discount on that thing, though?
I got a minor employee discount.
Ooh.
But, come on, Disney.
No, I think on top of the, again, rock bottom clearance prices
sure.
on the Chip and Dale
sure.
dabbing shirt, I think it wound up being a little over 60% off.
Okay, good.
From the insanely inflated Disney sure. price. Sure. So it was exactly 20% more than I should have paid for it.
Either way, I think it was a steal.
Yeah, yeah
I agree. Exactly. I completely
feel
agree.
I feel
the value of this T-shirt is intangible.
Oh, exactly. So happy with it. I should do the shit where it's like I just buy 100 of them and wear like a new one every day and just, I don't know, throw it away as soon as I've worn it once.
You could be like the Michael Jordan of yeah. Disney clearance shirts.
Did he do sweatpants?
I think he never wore a pair of shoes twice while he played basketball. Don't quote me. Maybe it was like after he became Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But and I don't think he's alone.
Yeah, I guess I would say probably every athlete gets new.
I remember seeing LeBron after a game. He took off his shoes and signed them and handed them to one of like the like security guards on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a big deal because it was like not a home game, but he noticed that she was wearing some LeBrons.
Oh,
but
cool.
I think the idea is every game he takes off his shoes, signs them, and gives them to someone.
Jeez.
He never wears a pair of shoes
I don't
twice.
Feel comfortable in a pair of shoes until like 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's
right.
Tough.
So like
it's
every tough. Time they're wearing... Unless, is there some fancy rich person way of making brand new shoes feel lived in?
Oh, that's interesting.
I wonder if there's like a special,
well, I mean,
know.
It could just be since they are LeBron's, his foot is just
right.
the lathe for the shoe.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's like worked in by. Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. It starts perfect.
Yeah.
And you actually, the goal is to grow, you put by the shoes, grow your foot into a LeBron foot. not the other
good
way
luck.
Around. Yeah, don't like, make your shoe conform to your foot. Make your foot conform to the
11-year-old sneakerhead kids walking around with giant LeBron
big
James
feet.
Or grown-ass Asian men trying to be
yeah.
yeah. I still need to grow them feet.
Yeah, same.
That's the important
still waiting
thing.
For that LeBron foot to come in.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll get
yeah,
there.
One day. Right, Mom?
Like, yeah.
It's cool to have your mom in the room. So you just be like, right, Mom? And she affirms you. She's
yeah.
like, she's here for me. You know?
That's I cool. like how she's being such a good sport about like coming, tagging along to your job, essentially.
This is not the first thing this week she's done, which
yeah.
is just tagging along to my job.
Yeah, yeah.
Before this, I made her tag along to go get breakfast with my friend and his babies. So,
wow. Like, I mean, it's a fun day. Like, I would do it.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
It's
okay,
a good,
good
day.
But afterwards, yeah. Melrose, that's for us.
That's
and
beautiful.
Then here's the twist.
Mm-hmm.
We're going home and I'm going to help her clean her house because a friend of hers is coming to town tomorrow.
That's lovely.
So
like
we
a nice
give and
give
we
and
take,
take,
you know? Absolutely.
Right, right.
It isn't all about, it isn't
that's
the Sean
good.
Show.
What's your go-to chore?
I'm going to help her vacuum. Not only am I going to help her vacuum, I'm going to go help her secure a vacuum cleaner.
Whoa.
Because my brother came by earlier this week and stole her vacuum cleaner, took it to North Hollywood to clean his place. We were there last night and I was like, Mim, let her take the vacuum cleaner back so she can get ready for Linda.
Okay.
And Mim was like, no, this is my time. I need the vacuum cleaner.
Wow.
And he's making her find another vacuum. He's a huge fan. And he's now going to get blasted.
He's on blast.
He's like getting roasted on his favorite podcast.
And I didn't blast him last night because we just had that Nashville hot chicken from Raging Hot. You guys know?
I haven't had it yet.
And I got the raging level, which fun fact, no one at Raging Hot has tried the raging level.
Yes.
The highest level. They save it for the Asians. So we came through. Got it. I ate it. And I was in so much pain afterwards, like tissue pain.
Yeah.
But
wow.
I just went to sleep.
What about Mama
couch.
Chits? How did you fare?
How are you doing?
Mouth is still burning,
folks.
You're both very chill considering
the
circumstances.
I mean, I had a painful morning, but here we are.
Also, but you know, the listeners don't know. We did, back of the envelope, four types of water?
Yes.
When you guys walked in?
Yeah. Lots of different beverages.
That's true. We should have had an idea that something was up.
You got plenty of water.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Want just a big
raging.
Old milk? Should we?
No, I came home and just went to sleep.
Yeah.
It wore me out. My mom had two giant glasses of like yogurt drink.
Wow.
Got to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But speaking of, like, your day is so eventful today. Like, you are you're doing a lot.
Well, I live in D.C., so, like, I wake up on, like, East Coast, like 8 o'clock. I felt like I already slept in.
Okay.
Even though it was 8, and I was let's get moving.
I see.
I called her, because she's got a landline still.
Tight.
So my alarm for my mom was calling the landline from upstairs on my cell phone.
Oh, nice.
You know, like, you hear it all through the house, just like DEFCON 3. You remember that? Anyway, so she answers, like, hello. And I'm like, Mom, we're going, get up. She's like, okay.
She's
a great sport.
My goodness.
Because my friend with the babies, he's been up since like 4.
Oh, yeah, baby
of
friend.
Course.
So I brought him over like lunch at 9 a.m.
I buy that. I love
baby people who are like, oh, yeah, it's like 7:45. I'm trying to eat lunch.
Yeah,
they've been up since 4
p.m.
in the morning.
I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Yeah, I work in a writer's room where pretty much, like, everybody has kids. And I like to imagine that, like, 10 a.m. when the room starts, like, that's, like, vacation for them. They're kind of like, great, so I just lived through, like, a whole marathon of life before coming here. And now I just get to chill.
I will say, two times I've stayed out a little late for a work night and fully gone to sleep, like, almost to the minute when one of my coworkers were like, when my kids, woke up.
Yeah.
And like, we both showed up at work at the same time, but
Yeah,
you can get a lot of shenanigans in before 10 a.m.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Dude, this has been, wait, really quick. So, Lorraine, since you're guest hosting, just to give you a little guest, Ella, what have you been up to? Anything?
What have I been up to? Really just out here grinding, hustling to the max, putting my name out there, trying to, because like, here's the tea, fam. Here's what's up. I was a writer's assistant and then I got staffed and then struggled to find that second gig. I'm still working on it.
Sure.
And in the meantime, to like pay those bills, I'm back in the writer's assistant chair again, which is something that I don't think people talk about a lot.
Sure.
Like, I think people, like, I don't know, it's maybe like a shameful thing or whatever, but I'm like, no shame. I am an extremely talented writer. Whatever that next gig is, they will be so lucky to have me. Mm. But until they're ready for me, I'm sitting in the writer's assistant chair again. So
why
that's
is that shameful? Where's the shame in that?
Basically, I think that the ideal trajectory is that you get staffed and then you just stay staffed. But the job market is a little complicated at the moment. There are a lot of things at play that are very boring for non-writers. Like, it's not worth talking about.
Fair.
But I am not yet WGA.
Okay.
And so in order for me to, like, you know, get in that stream and like get into that like regular steady line of work, I kind of need to get that first WGA job.
Yep.
So still really working on it, trying to, like, I don't know, like, I love my current writing samples, but I got to, you know, keep writing new ones and like keep
the grind
hustling.
Is endless. It's
endless.
Horrible.
It's endless. So I'm trying to enjoy the process, trying to be so grateful and appreciative of the fact that I can even do this.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody can opt in for this long, long, long journey.
Yeah.
So I'm having fun when I can.
I did.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you, Andrew? What's new?
I just hate stand up. I hate doing stand up comedy.
Yeah. It's hard.
I've been doing more of it. It's not me.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm like barely functioning on a podcast.
No.
I can barely hold my shit together, guys.
Come on.
I mean, I think you're doing great, but.
Y'all are being very. Wait, Sean, do you do like performing, like stage kind of stuff?
You know, when I'm asked to.
Yeah.
I do DJing a lot.
Oh, snap. Mm.
I do a lot of fun DJing. I don't want to time out the thing to ask about dates.
Oh, please.
And times.
No, no, no. Go.
Okay,
go.
Here's a timeout. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to make time references if this is like running in like a year or if it's running.
Not going to be a year, but it's going to be a little bit. Okay. However.
Game on.
Yeah. Oh, also, sorry. That is just a super, super loose guideline. Please don't let that stress you out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I looked at that and I was like, oh, I can't.
No. Do not let it stress
I'm glad
you out.
That that's
yeah.
behind my head.
You know what? When it gets to zero, this room blows up.
It does blow.
So you should leave before. No.
See what happens. It's fun. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do stuff. I do fun stuff sometimes. I did Pop-Up Magazine once. That was a really fun on-stage thing. If you're looking for a fun thing to do, it doesn't necessarily have to be stand-up funny, but can just be like a story that's personal or newsy. Pop-Up Magazine is like the best thing to pitch. They take your story. They like collaborate with visual artists to make it way cooler and way more like of a stage element. Then they tour you across the country to perform.
Oh my goodness.
I've heard it's low-key, a great
pop up mag.
I'm loving that. Wow.
And then this week I also did Love It or Leave It.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which was on a stage at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun story fun about show. The Comedy Store, if I may.
Sure, okay, please. Let's hear it.
I don't know. Maybe you guys have seen it, but it was new to me. The green room at the Comedy
have
Store.
Have never been.
Yeah, yeah.
Is not green, it is mostly black and red. It is the skeeziest coke den in Los Angeles. It is disgusting.
Shoot.
My mom saw it because I brought her back there. I shit you not, in the middle of it is a miniature grand piano mirror that purely has been used for like what must be like 25 years for coke. And it's cracked and scratched from like razor blades and God knows what.
Jesus.
Mostly razor blades.
A black light would walk into that room and just pass out.
Yeah.
And just be like, this is too much. Don't even get me out of here.
Wow.
Wow. Have not.
The stories that room could tell.
We're going to take you to the coke room. I mean the green room.
The green room.
What did I say? What did you hear?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
What's happening?
Quite a scene.
Holy shit. Well, again, let's, don't stress about the timer.
I'm not even going to look at it anymore.
Yeah, please don't. Let's do some voicemails.
Yes. Let's get into it.
And we'll get cracking. Here we go.
Hi, Tawny, Andrew, and guests. I am from the beautiful city of Rockford, Illinois. And every year, the FBI puts out this list of the top most dangerous cities in the United States. Every year, Rockford ends up on the list, along with other cities with larger populations of people of color. White people, especially from the surrounding towns, always use this as fuel for their why Rockford sucks arguments, which always end up saying something like, it's not racist, it's a fact. My question is then, is this FBI list racist because it doesn't really solve any of the issues that we have, especially in regards to poverty and crime? And how do I call out these white people on their vague racism? Thanks. Bye.
That's an interesting one, right?
Yeah.
Is the FBI most dangerous cities list itself racist?
I mean, let's start from the components.
Yeah.
The FBI.
the FBI and its affinity for making lists.
Yeah.
The FBI likes to make lists.
It's like the BuzzFeed of federal police departments.
They've got like hipster
the
glasses.
The Treasury Department.
Seven cities that'll make you wish you had a fucking kitten.
Yeah, the FBI sure does like to make lists. So I think for anybody who's like, oh my gosh, the FBI made a list of the most dangerous fill in the blank, we should really respond to that. I mean, I think you already have enough information to question those lists.
Well, here's a thing maybe to think of. On a general sense, like, let's take the numbers at the face value.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, obviously statistics are malleable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However you do want to cut it, like, it is true. Not however you want to cut it. There are ways to cut it, and there's larger explanations for things that, mm-hmm. you know, have a lot of explanatory power. But, you know, on a base level, like, you can say, like, here's one, like, black men over-index for the prison population.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, those things are true. You can draw many conclusions from a number like that. I don't know. Like, maybe, yeah. Is that, like...
I guess, is what you're saying. However someone becomes labeled a criminal, whatever the case, whatever the story, we can't deny that they're in this category of criminal.
Yeah.
The crime, in quotes, that they committed in this city occurred. And so then that drives up stats for crime committed in this city.
Yeah.
And because that's the case, well, the way that we define a dangerous city is crime rate.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the
thing. That's the issue.
Like the racist part is like calling it most dangerous.
Right, because, yeah. I mean, I don't know, let's just pick a, what's that city? I think it's called New Canaan, Connecticut, where like the Stepford Wives was based. It's based on this like rich white city and like whatever.
That
like
feels right.
Connecticut. Yeah. I mean, so no one would say that that's a dangerous city, but like how much organized crime or white collar crime or whatever gets committed in that town that doesn't, true, that isn't labeled, you know? So then if we really wanted to like track all of this like actual crime, shouldn't we call New Canaan, Connecticut extremely dangerous?
Yeah.
Just based on like that logic.
I think criminal, what we need is better lists, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
you know, top 10 safest cities in the country to live in.
Yeah.
Top 10 most dangerous cities in the country to live in. Where's like the top 10 most like functionally diverse and interesting places to live in the country?
Yeah.
That list doesn't even fucking exist.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not? I want that list.
Right. Well, I would love that list.
I mean, I think weirdly, those lists are like a proof is in the pudding thing because those lists are the places that most people live.
Right.
Like, because they want to choose to live there. And it's like
Los Angeles, New York, Seattle, Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like
Austin. Like, shout out to Austin.
Yeah. You move there. People move there. I don't know. Like, you guys were joking about the BuzzFeedification of it, but that's really what it is. Is it's like,
it's clickbait.
The quote unquote dangerous is like distilled from things that have many explanations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And no one thinks about that. They're just like, crime.
Oh, don't go here.
Yeah. And
black equals crime.
Law enforcement has a vested interest in making people feel fear about something. They have to create this story. Like, this is where the danger is. This is where the fear is. So people can then go, oh, so long as I avoid that, I'll be okay.
Yeah. Right.
And then when they do something that lowers that crime rate, however they're defining it, then all the papers are like, law enforcement is doing awesome. Like, be on the side of the police because they take care of you and make you feel safe. So basically, caller, I would remind white people who are like, ooh, Rockford, Illinois, so dangerous. Dangerous. I would be like, you're falling for it. Like, wow, like you are sheep.
Yeah. And also, just to get back to my rant, which is like the flip side of this, the safest cities in the country, whatever, where my mom lives in one of them, Santa Clarita, California.
Oh, nice.
Always making that list. But it's like, what else is going on in that city? Like, what is making it the safest city? Is it the fact that there's no public transit anywhere?
Yeah.
Is it the fact that they drive homeless people out? They pay homeless people to take a bus to LA? Like, what is this city offering and what is it not offering?
Yeah.
Like, let's ask questions beyond the
list. What are the costs?
And also, people never talk about the fact that fucking suburbanites are eating each other in this fucking city. I saw that shit on Netflix, and it's not cool.
And it's
and no one's getting in trouble.
Yeah, people need to be more upset about that Santa Clarita diet.
How many was that on for 3 seasons?
It's going strong. It's like the Simpsons of bad
bonkers. People really like it. People seem to love it.
It really does. See, I love that show because I was just like, you can't, there's no way. There's no way someone pitched this and it just like,
funny
it's
thing,
going.
People are watching that show. I'll tell you where no one is watching that show.
Santa Clarita.
They are offended by that show.
That's true.
How dare you?
Too scared.
Our precious jewel.
So, okay, full disclosure, I've never seen that show before.
Yeah, it's probably great. I know someone that worked on it. She's very smart and funny.
Cool. Full disclosure, I bring this up too often, but I am very fascinated by the fact that cannibalism is technically not illegal. Have you thought about this?
Wait, what?
Say what?
Well, because
you can eat someone
who's already
dead.
Murder is illegal. Desecration of a corpse is illegal. But the consensual consumption of human flesh is allowed.
Man's got to eat, you know?
Yeah, nice. Say I got my appendix removed and I was like, Sean, you barbecued it and you loved it. You put the raging
what kind
hot,
of hot sauce
on it.
Yes.
And you were like, this is fine.
I've eaten worse.
Right. Like that's legal. And I think that that's really crazy and gross, but we shouldn't do it because I think there's a weird protein or something that makes you go crazy.
You.
It makes you, your brain fall
prions.
Yeah. This is helpful to the caller, right?
They clump together. Oh, right.
Did we stray too far? far from that call.
It's perfect. We're talking about eating appendices.
But like, okay, you mentioned D.C. I'm actually from Baltimore.
Right on.
Yeah, that is where I grew up.
A great city.
A great city.
With a terrible reputation.
The city that reads is what we're known as.
Really?
Yeah, that's the slogan. It's like on all the benches, like the bus benches and the park bench, whatever. Anyway.
But also, I sent my brother a sticker recently from Baltimore that said, Baltimore, we do more than murder.
Yeah. So that's we have the reputation. We're also known as Bodymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad. It's definitely known for being a high crime city.
Sure.
And I think that law enforcement in Baltimore does like to use that to their advantage. They like to be like, these are the neighborhoods that are bad. These are the neighborhoods that are good. You know, just to.
And like we police one way and we police the other totally different way.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I like
this is the one where you can smoke weed. This is the one where you can't
exactly.
smoke weed.
Exactly. And I find that very interesting because like I grew up in a really privileged like bubble of like the private school Baltimore and all these white kids like doing coke, like drinking underage, drinking and driving. Right. And they get away with what? They're like suspended from their like next home football game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just don't get to start. Sorry. We gotta make sure your reputation is sparkling clean for Yale. So
I think that's the thing. It's like racializing, those lists are racialized, but it's one of those things where it's like, and this doesn't help the caller with the racist she's talking to, but it is like a thing where it's like, do you believe that the cause of cities with more, I mean, what the caller's friends, we'll call them, the racist friends are insinuating is like the crime rates correlate to having more, usually black people, maybe black and Latino people, is what they mean. And then the question is like, do you believe that their race makes them more violent? Or do you like believe that like combinations of like poverty and like these beliefs cause different policing? And I think it's so hard to convince like the fucking racist that thinks they have a gotcha on this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's for real. That's the deal. I mean, the television show The Wire, I know that's not like textbook perfect, like this is exactly what Baltimore is, but it's pretty close. I mean, it's a nice tapestry of like what it's like there. You are kind of given a choice at an early age. You're like, well, am I going to be a part of this system that hates me and like holds me down, or am I going to kind of break the rules a little bit and try to have a nice life for myself? Like selling drugs actually is going to be like a better option for me and my loved ones
than
this terrible public school system that isn't going to invest in me and isn't going to take care of me. So it's not like the fact, like if we're going to say, oh, black people deal drugs, it's not the fact that they're black. It's that they are put in this really impossible situation.
Like,
you're not allowed to live in this neighborhood with this like better public school. You're not allowed to have access to these things. So then you're like, okay, great. Then I'm going to have to go give myself access to a better life somehow.
Yeah, that's okay. So that is why I'm going to say that list is racist, because it essentially
it took us a while to get there.
Yeah
but yes, racist.
It is, because it's just like it's like trivializing and distilling these multifaceted things into a thing that allows racists to use it as ammo.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly isn't helpful.
Yeah.
And anyone who quotes that list at you is probably dumb.
Is racist.
Yeah. It's fucking racist.
And think, racist people think about racist people, like whoever
racist people,
whoever the people are who are like, yes, that list is fact. Think about the way that high crime rate like benefits your life. Like, think about how, like, how do I phrase this? Like, think about how you've benefited from like people in a certain town being held back, being held down.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a cause of a thing that you benefit from.
Right.
We'll call you the powerful demographic in this country.
Yeah.
You know who you are. Speaking of, let's do another voicemail.
Ooh. Hi, I am a woman of color, but I'm white passing, and I realize that comes with the privilege that it does and probably has an impact on how I feel about what I'm about to say. But I've noticed that I'm a lot more tolerant of a person who's genuinely trying their best and doesn't want to be racist but makes a racist comment than I am of somebody who would make the same comment but I know they aren't trying their best. Like, I guess Chelsea Handler is an example. I'm much more tolerant of a Chelsea Handler than I am of a Tommy Lahren. And I know they both make racist comments, and I know that neither are okay, but I wonder if there's any merit to the patience and tolerance I have for the Chelsea Handlers of the world. Probably not. Okay, thanks.
She's not asking if Chelsea Handler is racist. She's asking, is her excusing Chelsea Handler's racism is racist?
Correct.
This is such an interesting question.
It's got layers.
Yeah.
It is very, very layered.
For both of you who may or may not know this, one of the adopted fucking slogans of the white people who listen to this show is that I'm trying my best. Is sort of a thing, which we have encouraged in the form of merch. Pick it up at podswag.com/yo. But I don't personally love it.
Yeah.
That's true. I truly do not love that. But what are you going to do? They use it now. That's sort of to distill it into the more general thing. And once again, distill, literally the opposite of distill, to diffuse it into the more general thing. It's sort of talking about these, like, we'll call them, like, well-meaning liberal white folks.
Yes.
You know, liberal-ish.
Who voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
Who wanted that third term.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that feels right. You know, like, up to and including the protagonists of Get Out? Just kidding.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, in opposition to the sort of virulent racism of like any number of Tommy Lahren type people. Is there, you know, because I don't know if you've heard the sentiment, or I feel like I see it on Twitter a lot and in the stand-up world an awful lot, which is this, like, I just prefer when a racism's out in the open. Like,
you know,
at least then you know how to deal with it.
Like, I like that my neighbor doesn't talk to me because he doesn't like me.
No,
at least I know where I stand.
Yeah, at least I know where I stand argument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I personally think is idiotic, but I understand some benefits of it. The people sort of beaten down by insidious racism, you know, find it very frustrating.
Yeah.
I just think you can't think it's better or it's worse than, like, again, open white supremacy.
I think in the past I have said this.
I think
in the past of my life I've been like, well, I'd rather have a conversation with David Duke or like whatever. No, that's not true though. Like, I think what Pass Lorraine means is it's easier for me to allocate my energy on certain conversations. Like, if I'm, I don't know, if I'm like at my small liberal arts college where people are, you know, they're in the school of Dr. Cornell West and they're learning about how hip hop music is the pedagogy and they're like explaining hip hop to me. And that's really annoying. But I'm like, I understand, like, they are trying their best. They're not trying to be awful. They don't hate Black people. They're trying to appreciate Black culture in my presence. And we're all growing together.
Yeah.
But like, that's exhausting to me.
Yeah.
And then when there's like, I don't know, I remember when I was in college, the whole thing with the Gina Six was going on and I was wearing like a t-shirt that was like, I stand with the Gina Six, something like that, like free the Gina Six. And like some like hick was driving by and was like, them Gina Six is going to jail. Like, and that really scared me and that really freaked me out. And like, I think my thought was, well, I'm in Poughkeepsie, New York. Like, I like to know like where these racist bigots are. But like, I would say that takes the same amount of energy away from me. Like, it's the same. It's all white supremacy making me feel exhausted. And so there's really no way for me to, like, categorize it and compartmentalize it and quantify, like, well, which racism is better?
Yeah.
It's all a drain and a suck. So, like, in the example that the caller gave, which is Chelsea Handler versus Tommy Lahren, I think that the reason why I could tolerate like Chelsea Handler being messy for like a few minutes versus me just wanting to click off immediately with the Tommy Lahren thing, I think it's just because Chelsea Handler hurts me less and is I don't know.
I think there's an easier answer here. Like, I mean, Lily Singh, you know?
Yeah.
Deezus and Mero. Like, you don't need to watch Chelsea Handler and tolerate her, subtle racist digs.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a friend who's like, I'm trying, but I'm still kind of racist. Like, you could be like, friend, get better. Or you could, like, make a new friend. It's 2019.
Right.
You just don't need that in your life.
Yes, it's like sort of a benign form, but it's still
that's
annoying.
That's like a nice third way, which is like, you don't need any of that shit.
You definitely don't.
There's options these days. We've got options.
I feel that. Yeah, I guess like I'm just still just like on an objective level, like, and maybe it's because the specific examples are so extreme, but it's like Tommy Lahren's a neo-Nazi. So it's just like to me, not a choice. Like they're both bad, but one is clearly worse, I guess. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, yes, functionally, that might be the thing. It's like, I think for people of color, like functionally, you end up talking to annoying, well-meaning white people a lot more who are doing racist shit.
Yes.
And so in terms of hours logged, it's like more like more racism units come from those people.
Right. Yeah. Because like the difference between those two people, it's like Tommy Lahren is in like working hard to silence me and to like make me be less powerful and like less important. Chelsea Handler.
But you
is
also
just,
don't have to interact with her ever.
Never.
Whereas you interact with people like Chelsea Handler constantly.
And like their offensive thing is taking up too much space, I feel like, which is kind of the same thing.
Also, by the way, Chelsea Handler's probably fine. I don't actually specifically know what she's talking about other than, okay.
She just kind of
bumps me. Did she date 50 Cent?
Yeah, she did.
But I guess that doesn't make you not.
But, like, she sure does like to talk about it a lot.
I think it's that. It's, like, being very proud of,
that
like,
you dated 50 Cent for a while.
Yeah.
And, like,
whereas 50 Cent doesn't walk around bragging that he dated Chelsea
Thank
Hale.
You. Yes. And then also, like, what's her special?
Would that be funny if that was his thing?
That would be so funny.
Yeah, I got shot 17 times. But also, let me tell you about the time I dated Chelsea Handler.
We used to hang out at coffee shops.
Yeah. Yo, I remember back at the store, I used to see her. What if 50 Cent was just a huge, like stand-up head?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's hilarious. But Chelsea Handler, also, like, you got to be kidding me. I didn't watch it, but, like, that just bumps me.
Okay.
It's just why are you using this to, like, bump your name up? Like, it's a little odd.
Okay. All right. I just don't know what she's been up to. So I was like, I don't know. Did she do something specific? But let's take the general version of, the, like, kind of, like, I mean, I think we see it a lot in the comedy world, a lot. Like the white woman who's like basically fine, will fucking is out there at the Women's March, maybe flew to DC for the big Women's March, but also is like real comfortable with like
casual racism.
Or something. And I think that she would be very psyched to like her ears are probably burning right now. Like she finds it like titillating to be like compared to a Tommy Lahren. Like I don't care what people think about me. You know, like like I think she would enjoy us being like, does she offend me? I'm not sure. She'd be kind of like,
Does she still have a TV show?
I don't know. She has a.
What if she's really struggling right now?
She's definitely not really struggling.
I know she has a house in Bel Air.
She really?
Yeah, that was her dream.
Zillion % not.
She's doing awesome. Yeah, like Chelsea Handler, if you want to like meet me and like put me on, like let's like have a debate, like in real life.
Debate me.
That would be fun.
Okay, so none of us are caught up. She's probably more or less. Like, you know,
she's
not any worse than, you know, 80% of white women in Hollywood.
You definitely have better options out there.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's like you don't need this. OK, but do you think the caller is racist for being more forgiving of someone like this?
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, how you deal with it is how you deal with it. But I think if she's like losing brain space and time and like thought and sleep to these decisions she's making, she should find a way to move on.
I like what Sean said.
Like don't exhaust yourself.
Yeah, this is a bad debate.
Yeah. There's other ways.
It was the real answer was it was the question that was racist all along. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guests. I'm a white guy and I was trying to figure out the best way in like office environments, how to describe coworkers to other coworkers, especially when they're coworkers of a different race other than mine. Either describing them to other white coworkers or describing people of a different race to non-white coworkers. So I don't know if that's something that shouldn't be brought up at all and just talk about physical characteristics other than race. Like, they have a beard, they have a mustache, they wear glasses, they smell like smoke. or if I should bring it up, but it's not the first characteristic I bring up. So just trying to gauge how to handle that situation. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, man.
I think that's a great question. I love this question.
Good question.
Really?
I was going to say,
I forgot that we were so on theme with white people, or sorry, not the other, previous caller was not white, but
this is a question
people
for
over
everyone.
Fucking thinking it, I will say. But yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Please. I mean, like everyone could get into a sticky situation here, especially with like gender stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think just trying your best is the
best option.
I'm going back to a previous.
Yeah.
I do like what.
But like, there's a terrible way to do it, obviously.
What Andrew's saying, though. Like, it is a little frustrating that with these questions, we keep centering white people. Like, it seems it's all about them. But
my man. Like, this is not hard.
But it is. Like,
is it? It is. Maybe it is.
It is their fault, though, that this is even an issue. Like, let's just start from here. Why is this an issue? Like, why is this charged in the first place? Because the workforce is predominantly white.
Sure.
Or it's based on whiteness.
Because, like, if not white, you can't just say the guy in the red shirt.
Yeah. Right. You would say, because of whiteness. Yeah. And, like, that's the real thing that's weighing this guy down is whiteness. Yeah. Like, that's the issue here.
Yeah.
It's all in relation to whiteness. So, like, yeah, don't do it. Don't, like, if you're, I don't know, I don't love it when white people, especially people who feel, like, sensitive about these issues are, like, the black.
Well, I was going to say, like, this is weird. this is a dude that like whispers black.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, she's black.
Right. Like, so like you don't do that. Like, I'm sure you can think of another way to describe a person.
Yeah.
The woman who works in finance.
Oh.
The woman who, like, what does but she
there's
do?
Like, there's like levels here, right? Because is the person within eyesight? Then you just be like, that person.
That person.
And you can point. No one can see me pointing, but I am pointing right now at a wall.
Do you think, what about saying just black at a regular volume? Let me throw that out there.
Yeah.
Because I think it means you're scared of other races when you
like,
do this shit.
I guess what if, like, let's get, because it gets, there's degrees of complication.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So what if you're not sure if the person's black or not? What if they're like biracial?
Right.
What if they look like they could be Asian, but they could be Latino? Like, where do you, I mean, if you're unsure in those situations, that's where I'm like, kind of try your best. Like the person of color, the darker skinned person next to the lighter skinned person. I don't know. Like, where do you draw a line?
I just keep it off of, like, for
race
me,
completely.
I keep it off of race. I keep it off of, like, what a person looks like, because, like, that's, if I hear that someone's describing me as, like, that black girl with the hair and she's thick in the middle, like,
no,
if someone's
all,
describing
when you said, like,
that way,
physical
and, like,
characteristics,
that lets me know, nervous. Like, that's how you see me. Like, that's who I am to you. Like, you don't see me as the person who takes the notes or the person who, like, I don't know. I just would rather it be a little bit more professional and a little bit more based on, like who, like what experience you've had with me. Like, what do I bring to the workplace other than what I look like? But if you don't know the person, I guess I would just say, you don't know Donna? You know, you can find her desk this way. Or I don't know. I guess that does sound like you're sidestepping something, but
I guess I was just like I think I feel like the antecedent to this question is you are so uncomfortable around people of color that this
you
is
have
your
no
train
idea
of
what
thought.
To say.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Cuz it just it's like if you're not uncomfortable with people who aren't white, I just don't think you have the train of thought that this caller had.
Yeah.
Mostly? Am I crazy?
No, you're not. I know what you're saying. It's also that thing of, like, when you're telling a story about someone and they're not present and then you're like, this big black guy, like, rather than just saying this guy, it just lets you know, like, oh, you want me to know that in this story, a big black guy walked on. Yeah. So, like, where's this going?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I like to tell stories and, like, if the people in the story are white, even if the conversation has nothing to do with ethnicity, I do like
small
to
white guy.
Underscore
white
that they're white
yes.
because, like, that's what gets done to me. But that's just, like, my recourse. That's me.
Sometimes
being
it's
like,
part of the story, but so often it is
not.
And, like, I hate it.
Why do you want me to know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It says more about how the storyteller's mind works.
Yes.
That,
right.
Like, that's necessary.
It's like, there I was, this innocent, vulnerable person, and then this big black guy walked on.
One of the classic ways to play spot the racism.
Yeah. Big black guy specifically.
I mean, like, bless this dude for caring enough about this work conflict to call in and ask. And I know it's
Yeah, it's certainly easy, difficult. Yeah.
It could be anything. It could be race. It could be, you said the short guy. I've been called short my entire fucking life, and I'm sick of it. Like, I'm not saying that personally, but I can see someone hating that just as much.
Yeah.
There's so many complications. So I think you're right. Describe them in what they do, where they sit. Be like, hey, I'll take you over right now and introduce you to Kathleen.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know?
I can't imagine that it's so important that you give a vivid description of someone at work. How are they going to find them if I don't tell them what shape their nose is?
Yeah.
it's just not necessary.
I'm going to make a tiny confession, which is that I hope none of my coworkers listen to this part of this episode specifically, but on my first week of work, I remembered literally everyone's name except the four white dudes in the writer's room.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I had to I realize now that because I think I lost that notepad or it just got mixed in the shuffle.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a little worried because I went down 40 pages into a blank notebook and made a little white guy seating chart.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. Listen, okay.
If someone finds that though, I feel like it's going to be a bad look.
It is going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, but just to
is
add
it called,
a little
like,
bit.
White guy seating chart underlined twice?
Well, I couldn't remember their exact name. So I wrote their names and I wrote maybe not the most flattering description.
Oh, no. Listen, but no, Andrew, I relate to that struggle because I mentioned, I'm in these writers' rooms and I'm meeting in a lot of them so that I can move my life forward. And I look a certain way. I'm very memorable. You're not going to forget that you saw me. But I'm telling you the truth when I say every person I meet with looks exactly the same.
It's really
wild.
They
all have brown hair. They are all men. They are all white. Their names are all Daniel. I'm telling you. And
they're not
like,
named Chris?
Some of them are named Tyler. I don't know. But it is hard because I leave those rooms I'm not going to remember
who
when any of those.
Are any of these people?
They're, I
we need a white guy mnemonic device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it goes both ways, right?
Yeah, so they all look the same.
It's tough. It's really tough.
I think that's...
What if we only describe people based on what kind of shoes they wear?
People
are consistent
cool.
with their footwear. You could be like the guy in the Vans.
See?
The guy in the Chucks. Everyone wears Chucks. I don't know.
Hollywood writer's room. It's all
it's all the same shoes.
Oh, it's all everyone's wearing the mid-level Jordans. every human being in there.
You know Chris, the guy in the mid-level Jordans?
Yeah.
Low to mid-level Jordans.
The guy who keeps wearing Jordans even though Jordan never did that. What is wrong with that guy?
Oh, holy shit. Well, okay, let's start with Sean. Sean, can you you did a little bit of plugging at the top, but remind people again where they can see, hear, read more.
Yeah.
You.
Today Explained. Check out the show. We do daily news, but we do it in a way that isn't, as you can tell, that isn't just here is the news today. It is sad.
I would like
to host
if you did that.
It's fun. We laugh, we cry, we do the sad stuff, we do fun stuff, we do Old Town Road, we do TikTok, but we also do Trump. And we also do racism all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So if you like this show,
is that newsworthy?
You'd like ours. turns out there's lots of racism in the news, too.
Interesting.
So we take a different approach, but we do it with the same sort of exhausted, really, is this happening
we're
kind
tired.
Of tone that we're all looking for these days.
We are tired.
Dope. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming
it
in.
It was great being on the show.
Okay, well,
I'm
Lorraine DeGraffenwright. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Lorraine with 5 R's. And I'm also on Instagram at LorrankyDank.
Nice.
You can also find me at the UCB Theater. I'm on a sketch house team. They're called Mod Teams. My team is called The Summer Of. And we perform the first Wednesday of every month. So swing
Hell
by.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. It's fun.
Amazing.
What's up with you, Andrew? Anything you want to plug? Your stand-up shows?
We'll put it in the wrap. Oh, watch Mixed Dish on ABC.
Oh, hell yeah. Root for Mixed Dish.
I need people to... Yes. I need this job.
Yes. We're just going to have season 7s.
Mom, are you watching Mixed Dish yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be great.
I don't have ABC,
Tuesdays,
I'll get it.
Either before or after Blackish. I don't remember which.
Strong plug.
Oh, and check out the Chitra on Twitter or Instagram. She's crushing it. What up, Mom? Come
on. Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Hell yeah. Plug away. Great. But thank you. Thank you both so much for being here.
My pleasure.
That's thank it. You, Andrew.
Okay. Peace. Shouts out to Zig.
We are back.
We're back.
We're back. We're back. We're back.
Back, back. back.
Lorraine's great.
Yeah, Sean's great. That was like a...
Everyone's great. I don't... Why do I have the least interesting things to say right now?
A part of it is because those two were so smart that it's kind of just like...
Lorraine is every time that... spoiler, there's an episode coming up that Lorraine and I hosted together where Andrew wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there like, oh, you know smart things.
you know
smart things. I'm here for the jokes. yeah, so thank you to Lorraine for stepping in. It's nice to have this community of people. And I know, like, you guys are so sweet and you love us. And thank you for loving us. We do try to make sure that we are here as much as we physically can be. But it is still really important to me that we, like, have all these great people that we can showcase. Yeah. And let you get to know other voices and, you know, like the Joey Cliffs of the world and stuff. So,
yeah. Oh, and of course, thanks to Sean's mom for being here also.
Adorable.
That was dope. What else happens with us?
What else happens with us? Call in and tell us what you think that is.
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE.
So go on podswag.com/yo to get t-shirts, buttons, and pins. Thanks to fan of the show, Julia, for showcasing some of the pins she bought
that
we threw up on the old IG story.
Mm-hmm. Instagram.
That's what that stands for.
Yo, is this racist everywhere? Trondi Newman. Andrew T.
Yeah.
Cancel your Netflix subscription and then re-subscribe.
I was like, what are you doing to me right
now? When Space Force comes on.
Yeah.
And then when you subscribe, say, I'm only doing this for Space Force.
Yeah, say it out loud.
Yeah.
The TV will hear you and I'll get...
it probably will, actually.
I'll get extra residuals. Oh, God. Everyone's listening. yeah. And watch Mixed-ish at some point, somehow.
God damn it. Tuesday nights. It must be
leave 9 all
PM?
This in.
Yeah.
9, you think?
I think 9, 8 central.
Well, guys, tune in Tuesday, 9 p.m. As we always say, you'll see something. Bye.
Bye.